I had never really considered what it might be like for someone to sense my own aura. Sheila drew in a sharp breath and her arm jumped. Her ink-stained fingers squeezed tight for a second and smudged my hand. "Oh, sorry, sorry." I rubbed my hand on my fatigue pants. "I've seen worse stains tonight," I said, "which brings me to the books."
"You stained a book?"
she said, her face and voice distressed. "No, that was just a bad segue."
Oh, right,"
she said, nodding. She absently rubbed her hands together.
"You're here for a book. What are you looking for?"
"A book called Die Lied der Erlking."
"Oh, I've read that one."
She scrunched up her nose, eyes distant for a second, then said,
"Two copies, right-hand shelf, third row from the top, 8th and 9th books from the left."
I blinked at her, then went to the shelf and found the book where she'd said. "Wow, good call."
"Eidetic memory," she said with a pleased smile. "It's sort of my talent."
She gestured vaguely with the hand she'd touched me with. "Must come in handy during inventory." I checked the shelf. "There's only one copy, though." She frowned, then shrugged.
"Mr. Bach must have sold one this week."
"I bet he did," I said, troubled. It bothered me to think about Gravain standing in the store, speaking to people like Bach or Sheila. I pulled the cage closed and started slowly from the front of the store. I opened the book. I'd heard it referenced before in other works. It was supposed to deal with the lore around the Erlkönig, or Elf King. He was supposed to be a fairy figure of considerable power, maybe a counterpart to the queens of the fairy courts. The book had been compiled by Wizard Peabody, early last century, from the collected notes of 12 different crusty wizards, most of them dead at the time, and was considered to be a work of nearly pure speculation. "How much?" I asked.
"Should be on an index card inside the cover," Sheila said, walking politely beside me.
I looked. The book was worth half a month's rent. No wonder I'd never bought a copy. Business hadn't been bad lately, but between handling all of Mouse's licensing and shots and the trucks of food he ate, and Thomas's job troubles, I didn't have anything to spare. Maybe Bach would let me lease it or something. Sheila and I walked out of the back room and started toward the front of the store. As we came out of the book areas, she said,
"Well, I think you know the way from here. It was a pleasure meeting you, Harry."
"You too," I said, smiling. Hey, she was a woman and pretty enough. Her smile was simply adorable. "Maybe I'll bump into you again sometime."
"I'd like that. Only next time without the gun."
"One of those old-fashioned girls, huh?" I said. She laughed and walked back toward the rear of the store. "Find what you need?" Bach asked. There was an edge to his voice, something I couldn't quite place. He was definitely uncomfortable.
"I hope so," I said. About the price."
Bach looked at me hard from under his thick eyebrows.
Would you take a check?"
He looked around the store and then nodded.
"Sure. From you."
"Thanks," I said. I wrote out a check, hoping it wouldn't bounce before I got to the door, and sneaked my own glance around the shop.
"Did I run out your customers?"
"Maybe," he said uncomfortably.
"Sorry," I said. "It happens."
"Might be better for them to be home. You too, in fact." He shook his head.
"I have a business to run."
He was an adult, and he'd been in this town longer than I had.
"All right," I said.
I handed him the check. "Did you sell the other copy you had in inventory?" He put the check in the register and put the book into a plastic bag, zipped it shut, then put that in a paper sack.
2 days ago," he said after a moment's thought.
"Do you remember to whom?"
He puffed out a breath that flapped his jowls. "Old gentleman, long hair, thinning, liver spots."
"Real loose skin?" I asked. "Moved kind of stiff?" Bach looked around again, nervous.
"Yeah, that's him. Look, Mr. Dresden, I just run the shop, okay? I don't want to get involved with any trouble. I had no idea who the guy was. He was just a customer."
"All right," I told him. "Thanks, Bach." He nodded and passed over the book. I folded the sack, book and all, into a pocket on my duster and fished my car keys out of my pocket.
"Harry,"
came Sheila's voice, low and urgent. I blinked and looked up at her.
"Yeah?"
She nodded toward the front of the store, her face anxious. I looked out. On the street outside the shop stood two figures. They were dressed more or less identically. Long black robes, long black cape, big black mantles, big black hoods that showed nothing of the faces inside. One was taller than the other, but other than that, they simply stood on the sidewalk outside, waiting.
I told these guys last week I didn't want to buy a ring, I said.
I glanced at Sheila.
See that? Witty under pressure. That was a Tolkien joke.
Ha, said Bach, more than a little uneasy. I don't want any trouble here, Mr. Dresden.
Relax, Bach, I said. If they wanted trouble, they'd have kicked down the door.
They're here to talk to you? Sheila asked.
Probably, I said. Of course, if they were more of Kemmler's knitting circle, they might just walk up and try to kill me. Gravain had. I drummed my fingers thoughtfully along the solid wood of my wizard's staff. Bach looked at me, his expression a little queasy. He wasn't an easy man to frighten, but he was no fool either. I had wrecked at least four buildings during my cases in the last several years, and he didn't want Bach-ordered books to be appended to the list. That hurt a little. Normals looked at me like I was insane when I told people I was a wizard. People who were in the know didn't look at me like I was insane. They looked at me like I was insanely dangerous. I guess at least four buildings later, they've got reason to think so.
Maybe you better close up shop for the night, I told Bach and Sheila. I'll go out and talk to them.